Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to Brave New World programme. My name's John Harrison. Chocolate, food, trips to see Granny, move aside. The number one present for this Christmas or New Year for children is a smartphone or a tablet these days, and that's the way it's been for a long time now. Some parents say that the new technology we're so accustomed to is a good thing, and some say it's a bad thing. Are we parents simply making use of high tech to keep our children quiet, or are we providing them with educational tools? Joining me to talk about this subject is Dr. Warren Buckleitner, the editor-in-chief of the online magazine Children's Technology Review. Welcome to the programme, Dr. Buckleitner.
It's good to be with you.
So let's dive straight in with the first question, a generic question. Has digital technology made parenting any easier?
That is the big question. I think that really depends on the parent and the family, and so it's impossible for any expert to answer. I think in some ways it's made it easier, and in some ways it's made it trickier, and I can certainly speak to my own experience having raised two children, two daughters, with lots of technology.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's start off with the easier then. In what ways has the new technology made your life as a father easier?
Well, you know, it's a lot easier to find answers to questions like, you know, what kind of medical things, or, you know, all the questions that you have as a parent. You can also use the internet to communicate with other parents, and you can, what I found it having older children is that I can use lots of tools to communicate with my children. So in a way, it's made it easier to send, for example, text messages to my daughters when they're away at college, or using Skype or FaceTime. I've been able to use technology to build bonds and actually, I think, make the quality of life different, very different than the way when I was in college as a child.
There are studies which, you know, which basically say that children who spend hours and hours and hours on their iPads or their smartphone, it leads them away from reading books. And books, they say, there's people who are sort of anti-smartphones and tablet schools.
Right.
You know, there's two camps, obviously. And they say that books are wonderful things because they're completely absorbing, and the person just forgets about everything else. But when it comes to reading online, we can't do that so easily because we're distracted by, you know, messengers or, you know, SMSs or whatever, you know, Viber or whatever. What's your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction is that, you know, let's cut right to the big question and say that it isn't about the hardware, it's about the software. And what I mean by that is that we need to really look at the exact experience, or, you know, the kind of game or app that a child is using, and talk about it. And then we can have a conversation. Mm-hmm. If we just say that tablets cause less reading or tablets are detrimental in some way, it's kind of like saying, you know, cars are bad, cars limit your ability to walk, or it's really, you know, or cars reduce the amount of horse riding that you, it's sort of an absurd conversation. And so any kind of research that makes a claim like that needs to zero in on what is the experience. And the one example I'll say is Minecraft, you know, that a lot of children are playing Minecraft, and it's a very absorbing kind of experience. And what I've discovered raising children is it's very natural for them to get very engaged and passionate about something and sort of intense for a brief amount of time. And I think it's up to the parent to decide whether to interrupt it with other things or maybe play along with it and understand what's going on.
Plato arguing that the technology of writing would destroy the art of remembering.
You know? Exactly. So this is really nothing new.
It's definitely not the technology that's the problem, it's how we use it. But on the other hand, the technological revolutions we've been through, I think, and okay, it's open for debate, and it's a very kind of controversial point, but all the technological revolutions we've been through so far have concerned the external world, you know, the steam engines, getting our bodies from one place to another. The information revolution that we are in the middle of right now concerns our brains. It concerns the input which comes in, the information which comes into our brains. And it's a new kind of revolution. It's not a physical revolution. And I find that the arguments that, you know, that Plato produced and that you've produced, maybe they relate to a different kind of revolution, but not this particular one.
Well, I think that these issues and questions have been raised hundreds of years ago. And we now, my background is educational psychology. So I studied child development and epistemology and things like that. And a long time ago, Jean Piaget, the Swiss researcher and child development expert, laid out stage theory. And stage theory basically says that children, younger children, relate to the world through physical active play with concrete objects. And obviously technology does not foster that kind of experience. But what technology can do is it's highly symbolic. And just like a picture book or print on paper, which is also abstract and symbolic, technology has what we call affordances. So it's good in some ways and it's weak in some ways. And the key to getting the most out of it is to understanding what these affordances are and capitalizing on them.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a short break here.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to Brave New World program. I'm in the middle of a fascinating conversation with Dr. Buck Leitner, the editor-in-chief of the online magazine Children's Technology Review, and we're talking about the advantages and disadvantages of high-tech, that is smartphones and tablets and the like, on children. So, Dr. Buck Leitner, we were talking in fairly general terms about some of the advantages and disadvantages, and you reached a very interesting subject in that in this new technology that we now have at our disposal from, I think, the age of two onwards. I mean, there are some young toddlers around walking around with tablets now, you know.
Right.
In a way, it helps us and it hinders us. And one of the things that I think is important is how do we communicate with each other? In the past, we used to, I think, talk to each other physically a lot more. And we'd go to see people, you know, we actually move our bodies to another location, knock on the door, and if somebody would answer, we would communicate with that person. Now we don't need to do that so much. Now, is this a new age of man, you know, a new dawning of a kind of high-tech man? Or is this just a phase we're going through when we're going to realize, having immersed ourselves in a sea of high-tech technology, that we need physical contact?
Well, again, it's really easy to look at this new stuff as either or, you know, to say that the new technology is going to make it so that we never talk to each other again. And I think that's a real natural kind of way. You know, we look at something new, we don't know what it is. So we always use our past experience as a lens to understand what it means. And I think that in many cases that leads to an ignorant way of looking at something new. Oftentimes, the answer is right in front of us. If we just watch children as they use these tools, we'll see things we like and we'll see things we don't like. And what happens is, and you know, I'm a professional child watcher, I observe, I keep my eyes open, and I think that that's what every parent should do right now is we're the first generation to experience this, and we don't have a choice.
You're right there.
We can't put ourselves in a time machine and say, let's go back to those comfortable 1800s where we use candles. We have all these new questions, and I think that the correct or the best approach, again, this is my personal bias, is that let's explore, let's ask questions. Let's capitalize on the positive things and minimize the negative things. And then, you know, in many ways, just as technology has revolutionized fields of architecture and GPSs have helped pilots navigate across the Atlantic, new technologies and touch screens can really help children learn and also play.
Let's just challenge you on that, if you don't mind. I mean, I really take your point that, you know, we can't set the clock back and just forget what's happened and that ban all iPads and smartphones from the home and everything like that.
Right.
Because we might find our children may not be able to communicate with anybody at all.
Right, right, right.
They will be the outsiders now, you know.
Yeah.
But having said that, we can't really expect our children surely to have the same learning skills if everything is handed on a plate. I mean, I'll give you an example. I'm no longer a child, but I did go to a pub quiz last week in Moscow, and the temptation to switch on my iPad was so great that I actually succumbed to it. And I turn it on underneath the table secretly, and nobody would watch. And I typed in a question. I got the answer. I won. You know, and I mean, children are the same. I've taught in the schools, you know, and it's the same thing in exams. There's all sorts of ways around it, you know, ways to get into that technology with a universal bank of knowledge. And how can we expect our children to have to absorb facts and figures and schools of philosophy and different points of view and all the cognitive processes and thinking that that entails? In fact, we provide everything.
Let's assume and let's agree on the fact that we all want our children to be successful in the future. You know, we all want the best. We want them to get into the best universities and what is or to find happiness and find good relationships and so on. What we don't want when they are my daughter's age is to be antisocial nerds, to be, you know, to not have the ability to look in the eye, to read body language, to get along with others. That's what we don't want. And so we always have to think about, here's another thing, you know, I think many people be reassured by this, that no technology can teach interpersonal skills. Things like empathy can never be replaced by a machine. And so that's why we always have to have balance in a child's life. And I think we would all agree that walks in the park and having a pet, we had too many in our house, but they, cats and dogs, and developing empathy is something that you cannot tell a child, or, you know, a screen is much harder for them to develop those very tricky skills. The key word here is balance. We have to combine access to the technology with balance so that they have, you know, they have the experience to know when to turn off the screen and when to look in somebody's eye.
But don't you think that that's being very idealistic? I mean, how do you teach that balance when we ourselves are totally addicted to this stuff? I did an experiment. I actually gave my iPhone, and I'm sorry, Apple, I'm doing an anti-advert for you. I gave my smartphone to my daughter, and I went back to a very primitive Nokia phone, you know, with no internet on it. And I'm now unable to get into Facebook or on my favorite programs on the metro or when I'm going somewhere or when I'm even doing something. I'm aware. Suddenly, I didn't see it with thousands of people around me, completely absorbed in their electronic world, just standing there fiddling with their fingers on their gadgets, you know. I'm liberated. I'm free of it. I can actually look around me and notice where I am and things like that, which I've forgotten about. It's all very well to say that, yes, let's teach balance, but how are we going to do that? Isn't it too late?
I think we have to face the fact that we're living in the future now. You know, we've got the internet in our pocket. We've got this huge amounts of power. I think it's, now this is my personal opinion, I think it's completely flawed to limit your child's access before they're, when they're young. I think that it's just like you give a child the, you know, access to a bicycle so that they can experiment with the limits of their, what we call gross motor abilities. They need smart devices so that they can experiment with the limits of internet searches and they can start to understand what is improper behavior. Now, the other thing is, they're watching what we do as adults. They're learning, you know, the role model is the biggest teacher. It's the best teacher. So, you know, we have to also be conscious that these eyes are watching to see how we respond to the technology. And, you know, when I work with people, I consciously lower the lid of my iPad and I force myself to do it so that I look in their eyes. And I think that, you know, I tell my daughters that, and they can vouch for this, I think, somewhere, that they can, there are times when we leave the phones in the car and when we go to grandma and grandpa's house, it's technology free time, but it's all about the balance. And the last thing I would do is take away the access because I want them to be empowered by this technology and to understand it.
That's really fascinating. I'm probably going to have to stop the program now because we've actually run out of time. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Buck Leitner, the editor-in-chief of the online magazine Children's Technology Review. And thank you, listeners, and just think twice about the technology you're buying for your children and how you're going to let them use it, if you still have any say in the matter, that is. Okay, goodbye. Thank you very much.
Brave New World.